We are on week 10, and we have not been going through these commandments in order. So God's 10 non-negotiables. I do believe, and I'm going to say this one of the last times, if you guys have been here, you've heard me say this numerous times, that the commandments are God's ideas, not ours, right? Church didn't come up with it. Israel didn't come up with it. And they actually apply to our lives today. And so if you have missed any of them, they go a lot deeper than just what they initially talk about. Now, Jesus summed up the commandments in what way? He said to love what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all your strength. That's the and then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's actually a summation of the commandments. When he said to love your Lord your God, I mean, it's easy to make that statement because I hear people say stuff like, oh, well, I love God. Oh, do you? Well, this is exactly what that looks like. Number one, you won't have other gods before me. Right? You're not going to have idols. You're not going to have these things in your life that are more important than me. You're not going to begin to misuse his name. And let me just say, I know it may shock her, I've heard people say that they love the Lord and then curse his name in almost the same sentence. Right? I'm not even exaggerating right there. It's like, how many of you know something is wrong? This way, keeping the Sabbath. These things are ways that we demonstrate that we're loving God. Now, the second part, when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, that really deals with our relationship with other people, to honoring your parents, not murder. How many of you know you're not loving someone if you kill them? All right, hello. Not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, not coveting. And so all of that, when we say we love other people, this is how it's demonstrated in our lives. So the only one that's not highlighted is number 8 there, which is what we are actually covering today. Do not steal. So if I could just simply say, hey guys, don't steal. Go home now and enjoy your Labor Day. All right, but how many of you know I'm not going to do that? All right, because there's actually more to this, just like every one of the commands, there's more to it than just kind of reading it, not stealing. In the Hebrew, the word steal means to take for nothing, thievery, or even deceit. And you may think about that. There are actually different ways that we steal. It's just not like you think. How many of you know when you put people down, how many of you know that's stealing? Because what you're doing, gossiping or trashing their reputation, is that we are taking away their reputation, right? We're painting them in a picture that we, maybe we see them, but that may not be how they are at all. There's actually laws that people have gone to court, and it's called being sued for defamation of character. When people defame your character and they spread all kinds of lies, they are stealing who you are. And they're beginning to tell other people. I'll bet you everybody in this room has had somebody do that to you one time or another. Am I right? And now don't raise your hand. It's very likely that you've done that to somebody else. All right? It's like, oh man, you know what? Wait a minute. Don't talk about that. Other ways that we steal. You know, I don't know. If anybody ever stole anything in your life? Come on, let's see some hands there. Let's be honest, right? I've stolen in my life, and I can tell you, I remember at least one of the first times that really stood out to me, and I grew up in West Texas in Midland, and I don't even know how old I was, like 7 or 8 or something like that, and I was at this convenience store, just a little mom-and-pop convenience store that was in our neighborhood, and I took something, and I'm going to date myself by what I stole, because some of you guys, if you're under a certain age, you won't have any idea what I'm talking about. Some of you guys might, but there were these, they weren't trading cards per se, but they kind of were, and it was a product called Wacky Packages. Does anybody remember those? Some of you guys, a few of you, they were like a hot item, and I actually have a picture of some of them. They were stickers and little trading cards that made fun of current products, and you know, it had the lip off cup of soup, hot chicken soup, Dr. Pooper, and or Popper, I guess, Be the Slob. Anyway. Here was, I must have had too much of this big tummy spaghetti sauce for meatheads. So these were really cool for, you know, in elementary school because, you know what, it's right up the alley of that humor, right? And I was in this convenience store, and I thought, oh, there's some of them, you know, but I don't have any money. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to slip a few of these in my pocket. And guess what? I got caught. All right, that store owner, clerk, whatever. And I thought I was going to jail. I was going to do hard time, but he called my mom. I guess I must have known my number. I've always known phone numbers, but she came and picked me up. Man, I was like, I didn't steal again. I mean, at least not from that store, that's for sure. So, so now listen, it's one thing when you've stolen. How many of you have ever been stolen from? Right? You've had things taken from you, and I don't care if it's big or small. It's a big deal. When we were living in Colorado Springs, and our second car, it was a hunk of junk. It was an old Honda, 1982 Honda Civic. And how many of you remember those? I mean, you could almost put them in your pocket and take them where you want to go. But I had a radio with a cassette player. Yes, it was that old. And it wasn't even mounted in there. It was kind of laying in the hole where the radio goes. Anybody ever have one of those? And I just remember coming out one day. I mean, it worked, and it was gone. And I just thought, you know, how? I mean, really, the joke's on them because I had a Promise Keeper tape on the inside of it. And I don't know if they ever listened to it, but you know what? You still kind of feel violated, don't you? Even if it's big, even if it's small, whatever it is. We had a kid that broke into our house in Texas, and he took some of the money out of a coin jar that we had. Plus, he stole a watch that belonged to my son Joshua. You still remember that, don't you? And he took the watch, and it was like, we didn't have a whole lot of money then, but it was like a cool little spy watch. I don't know how old you were, like second or third, fourth grade, something like that. And you know, I saw him walking down our street as we were driving up. I'm like, huh, I wonder what he's doing in our neighborhood. I already knew who he was. And when we saw that was gone, I got in the car because I knew it was him. And he was walking, and he had the watch on. Yeah, he tried to argue that it was his anyway. I got it back, but again, you kind of feel violated, don't you? All right, anybody ever have something big stolen, like a car? Anybody ever, oh man, look at those hands up. I can't even imagine. Isn't that a horrible feeling? Yes. Like, you know, I know, especially when you're getting old, it's like, where'd I park my car, you know? I know it was here in my driveway. But those are big deals, and you feel violated. It hurts to be stolen from. And like I said, especially even when it comes to your reputation and people do stuff. People say things, and I think about that theft comes in different ways. And here's the feeling in your notes. Stealing, it's about gaining something at someone else's unwilling expense. Right? Whatever that may be. And I believe that from the beginning, that's why God said, hey, listen, don't take other people's stuff. Don't take things that don't belong to you. God knew that it was in our nature. I mean, throughout history, people have been taking people into slavery. Am I right? How many of you know it still goes on today? We've kind of named it something different, like human trafficking. How many of you know that's not good? But that has been human nature has gone on. Taking possessions, whether it's cars, livestock, spy watches, whatever it may be. It could be big things, little things. But our tendency to steal, and then we think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not really that big of an idea. And let me just tell you, I like the story about Robin Hood as much as anybody else, but how many of you know we kind of get that idea in our head, like it's okay to take from the rich as long as you're poor, right? That's okay to do that. And we see this playing out in our world today. Like, that's why I believe that there's all these smash and grabs that you see going on in the news, where tons of people go in and they're like, and this is the attitude. Oh, they're big stores, they're rich, they got insurance, they'll pay for it, and everything's okay, so none of it really matters. It doesn't even matter. How many of you know, when it starts accumulate, it does matter. It starts making it different. And we see inside a lot of our cities now, stores that are closing, restaurants that are closing, shopping centers that are closing, businesses are closing up. And I took a picture off the internet the other day, and this is some of the major stores closing in San Francisco. Here's the Westfield Center right there. All of these stores have closed within the last 2 years. All of these, I mean, They've got videos. You can go online, and they're walking all of these streets, and it's like store after store closed. For lease. Opportunity to lease your business here, and it's like all there's more that are already going to be closing. And their main reason for closing, really, it's two things. Number one, people coming in and stealing from the store. Number two, customers are not going there anymore because you park your car outside, and what happens in San Francisco? Smash your window, even if you don't have anything in there, and because they're looking for stuff. So here's what we realize is that this eighth commandment is killing our inner cities. And then we read, I don't know if you saw this on the news yesterday, the new guy that signed for the 49ers, what's his name, Ricky something other? Yes. So he, and I was reading it up on this morning, he had a Rolex watch, which is nice, all right? Somebody wanted his watch. And so they were going to steal in an altercation. He got shot. The other guy got shot. I mean, apparently he's a pretty tough guy because he got shot in the chest and walked himself to the ambulance, right? So I'm sure he's going to be okay, but that's all over stealing. That's this attitude of like, oh, he's a rich guy. It doesn't matter if he misses it. I'm just going to take it for myself. And so there's those attitudes, but how many of you know, maybe not what we consider a crime, but even if we cheat on our taxes a little, right? Just a little bit right there, because listen, I mean, let's be honest, the government's going to misuse it. Isn't that true? Like, even if it's true, how many of you know it doesn't matter? Right? It still doesn't matter. It's always been a part of our sinful nature, all the way back to Adam and Eve, when God says, hey, listen, you can eat from any tree except for this one. And what did they do? They basically stole the fruit of what they were not supposed to eat. And there's other sins that were involved in that. But I think that it's just our human nature to take the things that don't belong to us. So I want to challenge you in this area, whether it's big things, small things, let's get rid of this out of our life. Amen? Amen. So, and I promise you that this applies to so much more than we can imagine. But I'm going to give you five reasons why we steal. And at the end, I want to make it really practical as we close it up. So number one, five reasons why we steal. We steal because we lack contentment. And if you've been following this series, I've talked about this in other commandments. Contentment has affected us in adultery. How many of you know commandment number 7? You're not content with the spouse you have, so you start looking at other spouses. Number 8 that we're talking today. Number 9 is lying. Why do people lie? Because you're not content with what you have. Number 10 is talking about coveting. Why do we covet? Because we want stuff that other people have. So commandments 7, 8, 9, and 10 all have one of the roots as a lack of contentment. So I've talked about it. How many of you know if it's that big of a deal, we should kind of mention it again? All right? Talk about it again. Here's the thing. Contentment indicates the problem with it, there's a craving inside of every one of us that wants more. Isn't that true? Yeah. We want more stuff, more power, more, you know, if you got a car, like, oh man, I wish I had a little more horsepower in it. Of course, with gas prices today, how many of you know that's become less important? More house, more clothing, more money, more status, more followers, whatever it is. And let me just say, our mindset, we bought into the lie that if I could just get a little bit more, then I would be satisfied in life. Anybody ever find out that's not true? Because once you get a little bit more, it's still not enough. All right? I got the race. Oh, I got the job. Oh, I got the car. Oh, I got this relationship. Oh, I got all of that stuff. And it's like, you might be happy for a moment, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but maybe I could get just a little bit more. Maybe I could just, and it's like this snowball that never stops. And here's the thing, God's solution is called learning to be content. Contentment is, and it really is, it's a discipline to live at peace with the portion and the things that God has given us in life without constantly wanting more, striving after more. And I want to be content with the portion God's given me. So a couple of examples, if you're single and God has not given you that relationship, and I know that for some people that's hard, but let me just say, you've got to learn to say, you know what, this is where I am right now. And I'm going to be content with where I am. If you've got one child, maybe you don't have any children, maybe you want more, You have to be content to say, you know what, this is where I am, and if Jesus wants me to have more, then I'm okay with that. Maybe you've got a business, and I know every business owner wants their business to be the best, am I right? And it's got to be the best, but you know what, if it's not the best, can you be content with where it is? Can you learn to be content there? Can you be satisfied? And let me just say, it doesn't mean that you can't strive for more. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can't learn to be content and live satisfied in the moment where you're at, why would God give us more? Why would God bless you with more? Because here's the reality. If you can't learn contentment, I believe that there's only two ways you're going to live, either in contentment or frustration. Can I be content with what I have and still want more? Yes, that's true. And still work for more. Still maybe you want your business to do better. But I can still be content, or else you will live frustrated because you're never going to get there. It's like, you know, the apple in front of the horse. It's like, I can never quite get there. I'm going after it. We've got to learn to be satisfied with where we are. And let me just say, for me, I want to be content and live God's way. I want to live that way. Contentment is simply trusting in God that if He hasn't given you whatever it is that you're looking for, if God hasn't opened that door yet, then I can trust and know that God already knows what's best for me. Amen? Do you trust God in that area? Do you believe that He really knows? Well, you know what? No, God doesn't quite know everything. No, He does. He knows the things that you need. He knows when you need it. And let me just say, He even knows if you even need it at all. Amen? Some of the things you may want, God says, no, 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 that isn't going to be good for you. Like, you may want that, you may desire that, but that's going to be a tragedy in your life. Let me just say, has anybody ever got something and you felt like God didn't want you to have it, but you got it anyway, and then later on you wished, oh, God, I wish I didn't get that. All right? Like if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Because God already knows. Sometimes He'll let you achieve the things that you want because you're pursuing it outside, but let me tell you, it will not be good for you. I want to go back over this verse out of 1 Timothy 6. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I just want to stop right there. What kind of gain do we want in our life? I want great gain that God gives. And so I've got to learn this contentment thing. For He says, we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out, but if we had food and clothing, we will be content with that. Can you imagine a world where people said, I've got food and I got clothing and I'm good? Amen. Well, that's not America, is it? That's not the American value right there. Imagine what that. He says, verse 9, people who want to get rich, and let me just say again, that's our world today. Everybody wants to get rich. I mean, that's why lotteries do so good. Isn't that right? People are in there. Oh, man, if I can just scratch the right one, if I can just get the right one. And so we pay all this money to be losers. Does that make any sense? It's like nobody. I mean, yeah, every now and then somebody gets it. And then guess what? They get the lottery. You guys have heard some of the stories. They want it. And then they've just opened themselves up to more trouble. Right? It usually never works out good for them. So it says people that want to get rich, they fall into temptation and a trap. It really is. I mean, just think of the big bear traps, you know, that people step in and what a horrible thing. But if you desire, if that's your pursuit, it really is a trap. It catches you. And I'm telling you, our Western society has fallen into the trap of more, more, and more. I got to have more. I got to have more. And it says, and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. And you know why people end up in ruin? They ruin their lives and destroy is that they've pursued stuff instead of pursuing God. Instead of pursuing after Him, instead of allowing God to be their portion and their contentment, it's like, oh man, if I had this, that will make me content. And I just want to tell you, it never will. It never will. You will chase after things all your life, and you will never find contentment. Verse 10, he says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So here's the thing. Stealing is the root of love of stuff. If you love stuff, you will find a way to get the stuff. Am I right? And he says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. So it's not like you just destroyed your life and your relationship. How many of you know people that have never got a hold of this have destroyed their eternity? They've turned away from God in pursuit of stuff. So how do we walk in contentment? By walking in gratitude of the things that you do have. How many of you know there's a song we used to sing, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. Come on, some of you guys know that. There's a really good practice in beginning to look at the stuff you have and say, Lord, thank you for what I do have. Lord, thank you for the blessings that I do have. Instead of living in grief for the things that you don't have. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I had that. It really comes down to a choice in our life. I've got to choose gratitude over grief. I've got to choose contentment over wanting the next big thing. Lord, whatever it is, I can be satisfied with my life, with my family, with our church, with all those things. And let me just say, as a pastor, and this happens in some people, if pastors have this thing where it can be sound like it's really spiritual, but it's not. But you can be not satisfied until your church becomes the biggest church. Right? There's a pressure out there to be bigger, to be better, and it's a trap that falls in ministry. And many pastors are always looking for that next big thing. And it's not because they love people, but because they're feeling that desire for more. Oh, I got to have more. I got to have more. And I want to tell you that I am satisfied and I'm thankful for our church. Now, let me say at the same time, I want to see more, but in a healthy way. Like, if I don't really love people, then how many of you know, why would God entrust anyone else here? All right, if I don't really love people, more people, because Jesus loves people, amen? It's got to be focused on Him. That's how the whole commandments. If I really love my neighbor, then I'm more concerned about him than I am about building my kingdom, amen? So here's the thing. I just want to challenge you. If you woke up discontent about anything in your life, don't raise your hand, okay? Maybe you woke up, man, I can't believe maybe you went out to start your car and it didn't start and it's like, I'm discontent. And whatever it is, I want to encourage you to learn gratitude. Amen? Walk in it on a regular basis. Walk in contentment, and I'll tell you, I promise you, God will begin to bless you. So number one, that was number one. Number two, we still, because we lack in trust in God's ability to provide, like God can't do it. And so sometimes we start fudging things, we start cutting corners, we start pushing people out, we start manipulating. Here's the thing, people begin to manipulate other people because they can't trust God. Oh, I got a need. That guy's got money, so I got to make sure I mention my need over to that guy. And it's like, no, I want to tell you, your God is trustworthy. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe that? The God we serve is trustworthy. He will never let you down. He won't give you anything. He's not going to give you everything that you want, but He will give you everything you need. We've talked about that. Why is it? Not because we're good. God doesn't give us the things we need because we're good and we deserve it. All right? I know our men's Bible study, I like putting a plug, but Robert mentioned, he goes, yeah, I buy my kids shoes not because they deserve it, but because I love them. Isn't that what you said on Friday? And that's the same thing. That's Father's heart for us. It's not like, oh, I got to be good enough. Oh, I got to deserve this. Listen, we don't deserve anything, right? I mean, the things we deserve, we don't want. I had a pastor that used to say, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be front row center in hell. I was like, wow, that was harsh. But I was like, but it's true. And so we don't get what we get because we deserve it. We get it because God loves us. Because God cares about us. Philippians, Paul says this in Philippians, my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus because He loves us. Amen? Can I tell you that God's ability to meet your need is not dependent upon the economy today? Oh man, you know what groceries are. You know what gas is. God can provide for that. If gas went up to $20 a gallon, Lord help us not that happen. But if it did, how many of you know God can still provide? All right? It doesn't matter who gets elected into office as far as God's provision. God can still provide for us. It's not based upon even your current job situation or your lack of a job situation. God can still provide. Amen? That's the kind of God that we serve. He can take care of it because it's not according to the things of this world. What's it according to? According to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So know that I don't have to steal, I don't have to manipulate, because I serve a God that is more than able to meet all of my needs. Amen? Another reason people steal, number three, is because we lack confidence in God's timing. Oh man, isn't God's timing stink sometimes? I'm just being honest with you. I heard this quote years ago, and I've never forgotten it. God is never late in keeping his promises, but he has missed a few opportunities to be early. How many of you know that's true? Because like when I got a need, I want it now, so that, you know, maybe there's a bill due next week, and I'm like, okay, God, if I had it in my account right now, I could rest for the next week. But it's like, no, God's going to do it in his time. That's why we cut corners, because we don't like God's timing. We don't like it. How many of you, you know, there are some people that are always late. Don't raise your hand if you're sitting next to them, but I can just tell you, I hate being late. I hate it. But let me just say, God is always on time, but how many of you know it's not your time? Amen. It's never on your time. God always shows up, let me just say this, at the right time. He's always shows up to do the miracle when you need it, not before you need it. And that's the truth. So part of trusting God is simply trusting his timing. Like, okay, God, I'm going to have to. And let me just tell you, when we don't trust God's timing, how many of you know that's when we get ourselves into trouble? Yeah, we begin to, let me give you a big example out of the scripture. Abraham and Sarah, how many of you know they did not trust God's timing for that promised child? So they figured, well, God, you promised it, so let's do it this way. Let me bring in my servant girl. And they had another baby. And how many of you know there's been war in the Middle East since that time? And let me just tell you, there are probably some of you here today that are dealing with challenges and problems in your life because you didn't wait on God's timing. You thought, oh, I can do it. You rushed it. You jumped the gun. You figured, this is how I do it. And maybe you're frustrated that God hasn't given you what you were looking for. Let me just say, it's not the right time. If God hasn't given it to you yet, that's because he's wanting to do something. And I believe the reason God makes us wait is that waiting is part of the development process in our life. See, we have to understand that God is not the Santa Claus in the sky. You guys realize that? Yes. Like, okay, God, you're here to meet my needs, so this is what I need. Here's my shopping list. This is the things that I need. And God's saying, you know what? I'm more interested in developing character and qualities in you than I am fulfilling your shopping list. Amen. So in the process of waiting for God to meet my need, God is doing something on the inside of me. And I have to go through that process. I can't short circuit the things that God wants to do in my life. He wants to build patience, right? There's other things that he wants to build, and trusting in him. I love what Lamentation says. The Lord is good to those who do what?
Wait
for him. The Lord is good to the soul who seeks after him. Listen, friends, when you trust God's timing, you're learning to wait while God is doing a work on the inside of you. And how many of you know there's different ways that we can wait? There's waiting like, come on, God, I can't wait for this to, you know, get on with it. Give me the answer. How many of you know God has not called us to wait impatiently? No, he's called us to wait and say, okay, God, I'm waiting right now, and I'm going to be content with where I am. I believe that you're going to open up that door. I believe that you're going to give me that miracle, and you praise him. I love the song that we were singing. I will praise him before my breakthrough. Amen. Have you ever learned that secret yet? Because if you can only praise God when you get your breakthrough, then you haven't learned contentment. It's like learning to say, okay, God, this is where I am. This is the circumstance I'm in. This is my financial issue. This is my health concern that I'm in. And Lord, I haven't gotten my breakthrough yet, but I'm going to praise you until it comes. Amen? So there's a dynamic there of learning to trust in God's timing. And I believe that when we don't trust that, we start cutting corners and we start stealing and we start maneuvering and we start trying to work things out on ourselves. And that's not a good thing. Amen? Number four, we steal because we lacked respect for people made in God's image. Isn't that true? I mean, if I really thought that person was a child of God, would I steal from them? Would I take from them? The guy that got shot, I already forgot his name. I know Christian will help me out. Thank you. The new 49er, the reason he got stopped, it was over a watch. That guy didn't care who he was. He didn't see him in the image of God. He just saw a watch and he wanted it. And I love this verse out of Psalms 139. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Now listen, you can apply this verse to yourself, encourage yourself. That's a great thing to do. But I think at the same time, if you begin to apply that to other people you encounter, man, that person is wonderfully complex. That person was created in the image of God. Then it would change the way you see other people. And guess what? You're not going to steal from them. All right, you're not going to take from them. You're not going to disparage their character and talk down about them because you're like, okay, God, that's not for me to do. That's your child. He's made in your image. She's made in your image. So it's not up to me to try to defame their character. Amen. How many of you know if somebody's that way, they'll do it to themselves and they don't need any help from you. So that's number four. Number five, we steal because we simply lack, and this is huge. I want to spend a few minutes on this one. We lack wisdom in how God tests us. All right, God tests us in interesting ways. How many of you have found that to be true over life? And usually he tests us in the small things, not so much in the big things. What do I mean by that? Because this message is on stealing. Some of you may be thinking, hey, listen, I nailed this one. All right, I got this one down. I've never robbed a bank. Now, I asked the first service if anyone robbed a bank and nobody raised their hand. So I'm going to ask, anybody here ever rob a bank? I'm watching Robert over there to see. So, yeah. Okay, good. I've never robbed a bank. That's good. You were never a part of a smash and grab, were you, where the gangs went in and did all that? And you're like, oh, great, I haven't done that. Now, let me tell you, if that's your level, like, you know, never hit up a casino and took their money, or anybody ever see the armored cars in front of, like, Safeway or something, and it's like, you just kind of walk by, and you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, right? How many of you know all of that stuff is thinking big? My challenge for you is to begin to think a little bit smaller. Small things matter to God, amen? That's how he tests us. And listen, and I'm going to give you an example. Don't raise your hand if you've ever done this, but you've gone to a fast food restaurant, ordered your burger, and you'll say, I'll just have a cup for water. And you take that cup for water, and you go over to the soda machine, and instead of getting water in it, you get ice, right? With some soda in it, right? I've seen people do that. And then here's the thing, the way that they justify it, it's no big deal. It's only a few pennies worth of soda coming out of that. Yeah, but if you had bought it, you basically stole the price of that soda from them, and you're actually identifying your integrity as 2 or 3 cents. Wow. How many of you know it's not worth that? No. Like, if you're going to blow your integrity, you might as well get something big out of it. No, I'm just kidding. So, back to that armored truck, right? And I shared this with our men's group on Friday, and there's a convenience store that I go to that I get free sodas all the time. I mean, they know me, they know I'm a pastor, and they always give me free sodas except for when the manager's there, because they know that they're not supposed to do that. And they keep giving them to me. And, after I did this sermon this week earlier, I thought, oh, I'm not the one that goes up there with a cup and does that. And I've always thought, well, they're giving it to me, you know. They don't even want me to pay for it. They give it to me. But I felt the Lord say, no, you need to start paying for those. And I went in earlier this week, and the one guy was like waving me off. Oh, you're good, you're good. And I'm like, no, I need to pay for it. And he kind of looked at me like I'm weird. Like, who would volunteer to pay for it? But I paid for it. And then there was another gal that gives them to me free. Yesterday, we stopped in there. And sorry, I'm choking up my cough drop here. Anyway, I went in there, and she's like, oh, no, you're good. I said, no. I said, I need to pay for them. And she's like, I'm not going to let you pay for them. She goes, you always get them free. She goes, you're a pastor. You always get them free. And I said, no. I said, I feel like I really need to pay for them. She's like, why? And I told her about the sermon that I'm preaching on today. And I said, listen, I feel conviction. I need to start paying for it. And because I said, I feel like I'm stealing. And she goes, but you're not stealing, but we're giving them to you. And I didn't mention, yeah, but not when the manager's here. I didn't mention that. But and she goes, well, I can't take your money. I said, well, they're only a dollar a piece. I said, well, here's $2. Do with it what you want because I'm paying for it. And she went ahead and rung me up on it, still scratching her head like, what's wrong with this guy? And I'm like, my integrity's what's up with me. And it's like, I want to be faithful in the small things. Amen? I'm not going to ruin my integrity over that. And this is a truth that I really believe. If you will handle small stuff like it is actually big stuff, then I believe that God will give you big stuff like it's small stuff. Does that make sense? Like if I can begin to say, okay, this is small. I'm going to have integrity. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to treat it like I would be stealing a car, so I'm not going to do that. Then I believe that God will bless us with bigger things. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you're faithful with the little things, God will entrust you with big things. And listen, if you can't be faithful with the little, why would God give us more? Why would God give us more? Stealing, it's not about the big things that send people to prison. It's about the little things, the cutting the corners, all of that. And I believe that's why Jesus said this in Luke. Whoever can be trusted with very little, and this is actually one word in the Greek, very little. It simply means an insignificant amount. And if you think about that, like that soda, it's an insignificant amount, isn't it? It's not a big thing. And he's saying, if you can be trusted with an insignificant amount, you can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with an insignificant amount will also be dishonest with much. Isn't that true? Because how you treat little is exactly how you treat big. Like that is your character. You are revealing your character, and it's true. It's just how you treat something is how you treat everything. Oh, now I'm making more money, so now I'm going to live with integrity. Oh, I got a raise, so now I'm going to start doing the right thing. Listen, every little bit that God has given you, it is a test for the bigger things that I believe God wants to put into your life. Amen? If you can, listen, let me just say, I had that 1982 Honda, and let me say, if I couldn't handle and treat that Honda right, then why would God have ever given me more? Why would God ever given me more? If I couldn't clean it and vacuum it, why would God say, okay, I'm going to trust you with more? All right, so I need to trust God. He goes on to say this in verse 11, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, think about that. If I can't handle the worldly things that God has given me, he says, who will trust you with true riches? God wants to bless us with true riches, but he's looking at how we handle the small things. And he says, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who is going to give you property of your own? Amen. What Jesus is saying is that the way we handle that little stuff, it really does matter. It really does matter. And, you know, my wife was telling me, how many of you listen to K-Love? Anybody? They tell some of the stories on there. Maybe you heard this one. I don't know it exactly, but it was like this guy, when he was on drugs, he had stolen a purse, took the money out of it, and he knew who it was. And years later, I don't know how many years it was later, he got saved, and that was always on his mind, and he sent all that money back. He knew how much he took with a note apologizing to her and sent the money back. How many of you know that's a big deal? I believe that God would have jumped him up like, look at that integrity there. Look, it's not like, oh, well, that was in my past, let me forget it. I believe if you can make restitution, then you need to make restitution. Amen? I mean, if it's something that's gone, whatever, and you can't do anything about it, if he had stolen a purse from somebody, had no idea who it was, there's nothing that he could do other than steal no more, right? But listen, when you know you can, it's our integrity that we have to do that. I believe the way we handle little stuff makes a difference. Amen? Can I give you a story from, let's see if I have time for that. I'm going to tell it anyway. When we went to our first place as a senior pastor, lead pastor, we went to Texas in July of 2000, small church, about the same size building as this, only more dated looking. And there were maybe 40 people, had like three or four kids. So when we came, we doubled the kids department with our three kids. So Yeah, it was amazing. But I remember when we pulled in, there was this old rickety 15-passenger van that literally, the shocks, you know, it could get rocking in it. The back of it had rust in it. So there were several times until I like filled it full of caulking. If it was raining outside, it rained on the inside as well. And so they were trying to sell it like $500. But we got there and we're like, wow, we need to be able to reach some kids. And we took this for sale sign off. And within a few weeks or a couple months, I don't know exactly, but all of a sudden we're packing that van out. And we got more kids to pick up. And so, you know, God was blessing the church. We ended up buying a bus. And within a few months, we started having that bus packed out. And the problem is we were in a small building. We're bringing in all these kids and all of these teenagers. And we outgrew our 6,000 square foot building that we had. We bought a 20 by 30 tent and put it on the outside. And our kids still remember that because we had heaters in the summer or winter time. In the summertime, we just had it up and they met out there. That's where it was. But later that year, we purchased a 16-acre parcel, had a partially built metal building. And before we left that church, we had completed building a 15,500 square foot new church. We had over 100 kids that were coming, 70 teenagers that were coming every Wednesday night. And you know, when I think about that, I feel like that the Lord was showing me it all started being faithful with that old beat up, rusted out van. Amen. Am I going to be faithful to that? Or do I just come in and say, oh God, we want this big thing to happen. We got to be faithful. And I believe that God saw that faithful. And as a result, there were hundreds of kids that came to know Jesus. Amen. And let me just say, Colleen and I are not as strategic or that smart, but we understand the significance of taking care of the little things that God has given us. Amen. Taking care of it. And let me just say, if we grow out of this building, and I know it's Labor Day weekend, we got a lot of people gone. Some people aren't feeling well. But you know, that's why we bought that 20 by 30 building. It didn't dawn on me till I put this thing. That was the same size tent that we bought. And let me just tell you, a building is better than a tent any day. Amen. But listen, if we outgrow this building, then praise God. God will provide something else. Right? God will provide you another building. He'll give us the funds to build. And it's like, wow, but that's millions of dollars. Listen, that's nothing to God. Right? God can do it in His timing. But I'm not worried about it. I know that God has called us to be faithful with what we got, be content with where we are, and to be just to continue to pursue Him. Amen? I believe stewardship is a big deal in the kingdom. So real quick, I'm going to get practical on this. And Ephesians 2. 4:28, it says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So I'm going to breeze through these pretty quick, but I'm going to give you three rules for a theft-proof life. Number one is really deep and spiritual, and you may be surprised. Simply, number one, quit stealing. You're like, wow, Pastor, you're blowing me away with that. That is really deep, right? Listen, sometimes the most powerful quotes are the ones that are the most simplistic. Stop stealing. Maybe the Lord's deal with you like He deal with me about getting free sodas. Listen, I got to buy my sodas now. Not only did I just not keep it to myself, now I've told you guys, so I can never go back on it now, right? I got to pay for those sodas all the time. Well, I got to quit stealing. That's more important to me, right? When it comes down to something stealing, simple, stop talking about others. Stop defaming their character. Whatever it is, I've got to stop it, right? And I got a quick little video. Maybe some of you have seen this clip before, but can you go ahead and play that and not put it on the screen?
That you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
All right, listen, if you haven't seen that whole clip comedy thing, it's worth watching the whole thing, but it was like 6 minutes long, so we gave you... Here's the thing, just stop it, right? Just stop it. It's like, I don't have to do that anymore. So that was number one. It says, he who must steal no longer. Then he says, but must work doing something useful with his hands. So number two, learn to work hard, right? I know that's a quality that has escaped our world today because everybody wants everything for free. Like, what can I get? You know, what can I get out of the government? What can they do that? I believe that God honors hard work. Amen. Amen. Hard work, I believe, is an aspect of worship unto God. Amen. And a lot of times we think, oh, what we're doing here, you know, we were worshiping God earlier. That is worship. But how many of you know, I believe just as important is your worship of hard work at your employer. Amen. Right? Wherever you're at, God honors that. It's not, like I said, not just, it should be your full-time job. Whatever it is, I want to worship God by working hard where I'm at. Because our actions matter out there, do they not? Yeah. All right, people are looking at how you work, and if you claim to be a Christian and you're lazy, right, and you're not doing it, and it's like, and you take 8 bathroom breaks every day, 30 minutes apiece, right? How many of you know there's a problem there? And I believe that's why Paul says this, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So it's not so much what I do, it's how I do it. Right, I'm not just gonna go to work. I'm gonna be the best worker that I can be. I'm gonna be there on time, if not early. I'm gonna give it everything that I got. And I've heard people, well, my boss is mean. Customers are so rude. Anybody work retail? Are customers rude? Yeah, of course they are. But guess what? You're not working for the customer or even your boss. You're working for who? You're working it as unto the Lord, not to men. And then people say, well, they don't appreciate me. I get taken for granted. I get passed over. Let me just say this. God sees your faithfulness, and he sees your hard work, and God is the one that will promote you at the right time. Amen? God is the one that will promote you at the right time. So stop stealing, work hard. And number three, exercise generosity. This is huge because we have been sold a lie. We are told in this life we need to focus on what we get. What can I get? What can I get? The truth is that we need to focus our life on what can we give. What can I give? Life, let me just say this, because the world misses this all the time. It's not about getting. Our life is not about getting. It's about giving. It's about giving our life. It's not about the things you can acquire. It's about what impact can my life make on the kingdom of God. How can I serve him? How can I serve God to the best of my ability? We've got to switch our mind up. The opposite of stealing really is generosity, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? It's like stealing, you take away. Generosity, you're giving. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Christianity, we live in an upside down world. The world says get, but Jesus says what? Give, right? And I'm not just talking about your money. People are like, oh, are you trying to about to take up an offering? No, it's about giving our life for him. Giving our life for him. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, look what he says, see that you also excel in that grace of giving. Amen? There is actually a grace and giving your life. Like you stop and you help somebody, you do something for somebody else. That's an awesome, if you give, you know, somebody's struggling financially, you help them. There's a grace in that. And I believe that Jesus set the example for us, didn't he? Bible says that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. You ever thought about that? He gave. He gave his son for us. Jesus willingly laid down his life for us 2,000 years ago. Why? Because he loves us. Because he cares about us. And you think about the two most famous thieves in the Bible. There was one of them crucified on his right and the other one on his left. You guys remember that? And both of them are up on the cross because they broke the eighth commandment. They were thieves. They stole. So now they are getting killed, right? Yeah, so here's the thing. Stealing encompasses really all of the commandments, but all of us have stolen something. And Jesus, as he was on that cross between those two thieves, he gave his life. He never tried to get anything from us other than us surrendering our life. He is the giver of life. He's the giver of all good things. And let me just say, these two thieves had a decision to make. One of them didn't want anything to do with Jesus. He didn't want to he didn't want to talk about him. But the other one says, Jesus, have mercy on me. How many of you remember what Jesus said? He goes, today you will be with me in paradise. And I think about, you know, all these commandments that we have covered. Yeah, pretty good chance we've broken all of them. I know I have. But we serve a God that paid the price for that. He went to the cross, and all we got to be is like that one thief. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Basically, you're just crying out that his blood would cover your sin. And I just want to give us an opportunity here today, because if you're not sure where you would spend eternity and you're like, oh man, I know I've done some wrong things. I'm not here to throw any condemnation on anybody because, you know, I've been getting free sodas for 5 years now, so I've got no footing to stand on other than on the solid rock, amen? So I just want to encourage you today that if you've not given Jesus your life, or maybe you did and you've walked away, and you say, you know what, Pastor Scott, I want to return back to him today. I want to make a fresh start. I want to make a fresh commitment to him today. And can I have everybody stand? And just have everyone, if you'll just close your eyes for a minute. If you say, Pastor, I want to make a fresh commitment, can you just raise your hand and put it back down? Amen. Amen. See several hands. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are good. Lord, that you are merciful. And Father, I just pray today, Lord God, that Lord, those that raise their hand, maybe someone didn't, maybe somebody's watching online. Father, we can make a fresh start with you. And so if you did raise your hand, I'm just going to have you repeat this prayer, but I want to encourage everybody. Can we all just say this? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sin. Thank you that you loved me and you haven't given up on me. So today I give you my life. I ask you to come into my heart and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Listen, if you made that prayer, if you made that recommitment, let us know. We want to send you some information to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. If somebody's online and made that, please send us a message. You can send it private, and we will be sure to get that to you. Otherwise, listen, if you need prayer, we got a couple of our prayer team members that will come up here. And otherwise, we just want to bless you. Enjoy your Labor Day. Don't get in any trouble. If you need prayer, just come on up, and they will stay up here as long as need be. Amen. So you guys have a blessed day. In Jesus' name.